Those are the lectionary readings for Harvest Festival, but I'm preaching from one or two different readings in the Old Testament and the New Testament. For the Old Testament people of God, harvest was a time of thanksgiving and a time to remember the poor and provide for those who needed help. And so it was a time for those who were short of food, wondering where the next meal was coming from, to seek help. Now, we're the New Testament people of God, not the old. But these things were given to us as warnings and examples. And so the principles within the harvest festivals of the Old Testament are calling us too. And helping the poor to feed themselves is one of them. How can we do that better? How can we be faithful in giving to the poor? And they're good questions at harvest time. So can I encourage you to, first of all, look at Leviticus chapter 19. Page 117 in the Old Testament. It's not a book of the Old Testament we go to very often, but it is full of law which was helping the people of God recently released from slavery in which they'd been for 400 plus years to order their society in a way which was acknowledging God and pleasing to him and serving others. And in the middle of chapter 19, there's a very interesting thing about harvest. Practical instruction for those who were harvesting. Can you see chapter 19, verse 9 and 10? Let's have a read. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes from your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. The alien there, don't get sort of science fiction ideas, please. The alien there means the stranger, the foreigner who may be amongst the community. So there's the instruction. How did they provide for the poor and needy at harvest time in Old Testament times? Actually, in one or more ways. First of all, they did not reap to the very edges of the field so that hungry passers-by could have a snack, so that those who were desperate for food knew where they could go and get some at harvest time. And the principle is this: leave some for others while you take the harvest of your work. Now, it's interesting that Jesus and his followers were very grateful for that principle which had worked its way through the society which lived under the Old Testament through those centuries from the time of Leviticus onwards. And would you please look with me now to Mark chapter 2, verse 23. It's there in the New Testament on page 37. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 and following says this: One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. Now, the principle is working out there. The disciples and Jesus are traveling, and they know that they have the ability to take some of the grain from the edge of the field as they travel. was a principle that was established back in the time of Leviticus and had worked its way through society in a helpful way, because they were hungry, they were needy, they knew they had the chance to eat some of the grain. Now, we would probably call this stealing, wouldn't we? And I'm certainly not encouraging you to go out into the fields around us or some of the very nice looking gardens that there are in Poynton and help yourself. No, that's not what it's about. In Jewish society, inspired by the teaching of the Old Testament, this was providing for the needy. This was how they did it. Now, Jesus and his followers were obviously very pleased to be able to have this provision. Now, they were criticized in this passage because it was the Sabbath, and the lawyers said eating and walking so far that you need to eat are both Sabbath work and therefore forbidden. And Jesus dealt with their complaint. But the point for us is this. It was accepted practice that the needy could eat from the edge of fields. And household farmers were called to leave the edge of their fields unharvested just for that purpose. When you harvest, provide for the needy. Now, let's go back to Leviticus chapter 19, if we may, where we were before. Did anyone keep the page? 117 it was. And let's look at the second way in which they provided for the needy at harvest time. So not only did they keep the edge of their fields unharvested, when you reap, verse 9, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. So there's the second thing they did. They didn't gather the gleanings of their harvest. What's that then? Well, when you harvest grain crops, it's almost impossible to do so without dropping some of it on the ground. I think they're called gleanings. The bits that were dropped. And the Old Testament people of God were told, leave them on the ground. Don't bend down and pick it all up. Leave it on the ground. Don't pick up your gleanings. Leave them for the needy. There's a lovely little account of somebody's journey from great need to being provided for in the Old Testament, where this law worked its way through and was of great benefit. That was a quiz question. It was rather long. Who is it? Ruth. Some of you remember we preached on the book of Ruth about 18 months ago. So when Ruth hit hard times, very hard times, her and her mother-in-law, and they turned up in Bethlehem, penniless and starving. Because it was harvest time, she knew she had a chance. I'll just read from Ruth chapter 2. Now, Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, a prominent rich man, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain behind someone in whose sight I might find favor. She knew the chance they had when they were really up against it. And she knew what a great help it was to the needy. Not free handouts. Ruth had to work very hard for her grain. After all, the ones who were harvesting were managing to harvest the best. But she knew she had a chance to go and pick up what had been left, because that was the instruction in Leviticus. Faithful harvesters left the gleanings, as God's word says. Well, for the last 5 minutes, I just want to think about how we can provide for the needy. The book of Leviticus gives very practical teaching, which was of such great benefit to people who were up against it. Now, times have changed. Not many of us have grain fields. Not many of us have fields at all. And, you know, I might claim that I serve this principle by leaving half my apples on the tree, but I can't really claim that I'm following the teaching of Leviticus. So how can I provide for the needy? There must be ways to provide for others as we receive our income, harvest time, or spend our expenditure. Actually, I was talking to someone this week about making use of these buy one, get one free offers. Or so often the offers is sort of buy one, get three while you're at it, isn't it? So you go to the shops and you need a toothbrush and you look on the shelves, and actually the most efficient way, best way of buying a toothbrush is to buy three. So maybe there's a way that we can use that as a regular way of providing for the poor. So we would buy three and then donate two into the box at the back so that they can be taken to the Wellspring Project, where they have great need for toothbrushes and toothpaste for those who've been sleeping rough, come in the next morning and need cleaning up a bit. And it's a good gift for somebody to feel a bit better about themselves after a night in the open. So whether it's toothbrushes, toothpaste, a can of meat or soup or fruit, I notice with soup at the moment, I'm stocking up with soup for the winter, as you do at this time of year, looking for the little offers in the supermarkets, and they often do a 4-for-3 offer or something like that. So why not, when we see the 4-for-3 offer, pay for the four and take that fourth and put it in the box at the back so that it can be taken down to the Wellspring Project in order to provide for the genuinely needy, for those who are up against it in our own society. It is a working out of the principle of Leviticus 19, where the Old Testament is given for our encouragement, example, and warning. So give your surplus to the needy before it even becomes a surplus. Or you might want to make up a project. At the 11 o'clock service this morning, we are making up a homeless pack for Wellspring. And I'm told it's something like this. You start with a rucksack, you buy a rucksack, and then over a few weeks you also get a sleeping bag and some tins of food, a toothbrush and toothpaste and one or two other things. And then when it's ready, you take it off down to the Wellspring, or leave it at the back there, and somebody will take it for you. And having a rucksack project gives us a focus over several weeks, keeps it in our mind, and it becomes part of our routine. And really, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a way in which providing for the needy becomes part of our routine. That's how it was at Old Testament harvest time. It was just what they did. It was their routine. Old Testament harvest principles are helpful in urging us to equip and provide for for homeless people to survive this winter. So I hope that's got us thinking about how we can love God and love our needy neighbour and encourage one another to do it better. You might have better ideas than that. Please do share them and spur one another on to love and good deeds. It is harvest, so let's do it. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your comforting, urging, saving word. Please, Lord, help us to hear, take notes, and do what we need to do to please you. Amen.